designed to encourage, empower, and educate real estate professionals by sharing best practices from business leaders that are proven winners. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati, and this is Calibrate Real Estate.
Broadcasting from the Mile High City, thank you for tuning in to the Calibrate Real Estate podcast. As many of you know that are regulars to our podcast, we're simulcast both in the iTunes app as well as on YouTube, so you can literally see us. And I've got an esteemed guest with me today, Tara Moore, owner of Tara Moore Real Estate. She dominates Central Florida, and I'll let Tara get into that as a realtor. She was awarded, and I guess we're supposed to say recognized, not awarded, this prestigious honor that we both share called Realtor Magazine's 30 Under 30. And she was Realtor Magazine 30 Under 30 in 2015. So Tara, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to talk to you.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure. And we've gotten to be good buddies. We met officially last year at our 30 Under 30 reunion, which happens annually. And Tara is actually going to be one of our panelists on a working realtor mom panel that we're going to have at our this year reunion, which is actually going to be, as a sneak peek, I'm going to share this with all of our podcast subscribers. That is actually going to be an episode of our podcast when we have this taped in April. So stay tuned for that. Tara, among several other working moms that are a part of our 30 Under 30 alumni group, are going to be a part of this really cool panel. And I think that you guys are going to learn a lot from Tara and these superstar moms. So Tara, tell me a little bit about your start. I always like to begin with someone's start in the industry. So how did you get in, but also probably more importantly, why? What was the purpose that drove you to become a realtor?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always say that I started showing homes in diapers. I actually have a father that's been in real estate as a broker in upstate New York for over 35 years. So I had a really early look inside the industry and just, I think, fell in love with it. You know, it just kind of becomes part of your blood. And then both my parents actually were entrepreneurs. So I did a stint in the corporate world, and I think I learned a ton. I learned a ton of stuff. But during that time, I felt a little bit like a caged bird with the hours and clocking in and out, and oh, you get this many days for vacation, and you know, you're capped out salary or bonus wise here. And I just knew I really wanted to get back into real estate. Like I said, it was in my blood.
Well, that's really cool. So one of the things that we see in real estate is a very common trend is that parents will train their children how to be specialists in the real estate industry. And so I think that's really cool that you have a father that's a realtor. I've got this coin that I've given out to different clients as well as people on my team. It's actually from England, and it's the 2-pound coin. And on the ring of it is inscribed "Standing on the Shoulders of Giants." And no doubt when your father teaches you the business or you see how he interacts on a daily basis as a young child, you learn a lot. And a lot of that is just by osmosis, by being close by. So talk about your dad a little bit and just some of the lessons you've learned from having a realtor parent.
Yeah, I think honestly, leading into this whole talk about balance, he is very even keel. He's always in every area of his life. And he always talks about never get too high on your highs or too low on your lows, just staying even, you know, even keel, grounded always in your beliefs, your faith. And honestly, that's just been kind of the driving force of my whole life, I think, because of him and my mother also. So that was huge. Watching him, I think, succeed as a realtor also and give back to the community was huge. So yeah, it's been a blessing to be surrounded by that my whole life.
I love how you mentioned his community involvement, because as realtors, we really are community ambassadors, aren't we? And I think that's such a positive lesson that he taught to you. And there's another saying that I like, and I'm full of these little pithy little sayings, but one of them, as it relates to parenting, and you're a parent, I'm a parent as well, is that more is caught than taught. So your kids catch you living your life. And we all believe this, right? We would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon, right? Mm-hmm. So that was really important to see your dad as an involved community ambassador as a realtor. So let's talk about you. Now you're a wife and a working realtor, obviously, and then you're a mom. So what is it like managing all of these different roles and responsibilities? You have three job titles. You're basically, you know, you're the head of Tara Moore Real Estate. And I know that your husband's involved in that as well, but you also have, is it one or two children? How many kiddos do you have?
Two children, a six-year-old girl and a seven-year-old boy.
Oh, you're very similar to us. We have an eight-year-old and then twins that are six, about to turn seven. So very similar stage of life. I love the elementary school age years.
We're having a blast. It's so fun. They're able to do certain things on their own, and they're just becoming little people and interacting with you, getting minds of their own and stating their opinions on things. It's just so fun.
So how do you fit it all in? How do you focus on, and that's maybe a little bit of a trick question actually, because the answer is you can't fit it all in, right?
Right,
you have to prioritize things. But how do you do that? What are some things that you do to make sure that you're staying balanced as a mom, as a wife? You know, obviously the kiddos weren't there if it weren't for your relationship with your husband beforehand. So how do you focus on all those things at home and at work?
Absolutely. So I would be totally lying to you if I said that I wasn't constantly running around with my hair on fire. And I think that a lot of people that know me well would say the same thing. But I think honestly, I'm just trying to get better every single year at just giving myself some grace and just realizing that in a lot of ways, this word balance that we all strive for is a little bit of a fake word that, you know, I try to look at things like a swinging pendulum in my life. So there are certain times when our business is way busy, you know, January, springtime, and then into the early stages of summer, that I realize that, you know, the pendulum is going to swing a little bit more towards business, and I'm going to be running around like crazy during that time more so with the business. But then I also like to think of other times of the year when we are a little bit slower and we like to take some time. You know, that's when we plan our vacations. That's when we plan time to be together more. And that's when the pendulum swings back a little bit more towards family. So trying to fit it all in is tough. Also having the right partner, I think, alongside you is huge. My husband is a total rock star dad, and he is able to take the reins where I cannot a lot of times, which is great.
I love that you give your husband credit. And what's your husband's name?
Matthew.
Matt. And Matt and I have met. And I love how you mentioned that your husband, Matt, is a rock star dad and that he really supports you and that you're in this together. And I think what happens a lot of times is we're speaking about moms, and specifically we're using the lens of real estate as we're talking about working moms, but any working mom, I think sometimes that the dads get lost in that conversation. And I think it's great that you bring appropriate tribute to your husband and all the work that he does. So I think that that's wonderful. And I can tell that that's one of the things that makes a healthy relationship for the two of you.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great partnership. You know, like I said, he picks up the reins where I drop them and fail, and same goes for him. So, and then just a couple, you know, we're on the same page with business. You know, another thing that, going back to how do I manage it all, we're big on managing our financial resources responsibly too. And I know you're a big fan of Dave Ramsey. I think I've heard you talk about Dave a little bit as well, but that is kind of where it all starts for us, is managing those resources responsibly. And that just frees up so much of our life stress-wise, you know, and managing those resources responsibly.
Yeah, Dave Ramsey is one of my heroes. I've had the fortune of being able to meet Dave in person. Wow. Several times. And I'm a part of his coaching program called Entree Leadership. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I get my coaching and consultation. And I think some people may think that's kind of funny, you know, as someone that runs a podcast and has had some accolades in my real estate career, they're like, you know, why would you need coaching? But I think everybody needs coaching and everybody needs guidance. And we've got thought leaders that can really cut our way into learning about things. Dave learned, unfortunately, the hard way, which a lot of us do through failing. He went through a bankruptcy and decided he was going to go through this debt-free journey because he never wanted to have debt collectors call, and he never wanted to have the experiences that he had with people repossessing houses and just different things that he went through in the 80s. So Dave is a hero of mine, and it's so cool that you guys are a part of those programs. There's several ways to get Dave Ramsey information. His website, daveramsey.com, is one way, but a fundamental class that I suggest anyone who's getting married to go to is Financial Peace University. And then those that are married, my wife and I did this several years after we got married. It's a wonderful way of learning how to create a budget, be on a plan together. And if you are in debt, I've spoken about this very openly on my podcast. It's a great way to learn how to get out of debt through Dave's debt snowball and his baby steps. And that enabled me to actually pay off our house, to pay off student loans, to pay off car loans. I mean, I've had this huge revolution in my life because of Dave Ramsey's teachings. So that's cool that you're a subscriber also.
Yeah, we are 100% on board, debt-free also. And it's just an amazing feeling. And I think, you know, obviously some people might say, okay, what does that have to do with the real estate business? And my answer is everything, because as realtors, obviously we never know what the future is going to hold business-wise. We hope it holds, you know, greatness and all these things, but having a grasp on just your financial resources, managing them right and living below your means, it creates a freedom. It's just amazing.
So it's really very cool. And just to touch on that a moment more, I paid off our house. We paid off. It was my wife and I that did this together on my birthday in 2014. Wow. And our agreement was we were going to pay off our house before we did this big remodel and an addition. And you're seeing, if you're watching on YouTube, you're seeing our home office, which is part of that remodel. But some of the other episodes we filmed from my den, and you can see that in the background sometimes. The whole point though is that it gave me this freedom to take risks in a way that I had never experienced before. And you can't really describe it until you're actually debt-free. But in real estate, we're in a risky business. And there's a lot of people who would never go into work every day without the assurance of being paid. And we do that for months at a time. And we do get paid well, and I'm not saying that we don't, but there's a lot of people who would never work on commission. And so I think if you're a realtor and you can get out of debt, it's a huge amplifier to your business. It really is great. With our technological advances today, we have the ability to actually connect. You're in Florida, I'm in Colorado, and we're on an app called Zoom, which records our audio and our video, and it's a really cool way to connect. So there's so many just amazing things that make our lives so much more efficient in this technological world. So the question that I have for you is, what type of technology do you use to make your life better, more effective? There's so many different ways to be efficient. So what are some of the things that you're doing today that maybe people didn't have the benefit of back then?
I mean, honestly, just these kind of video conferencing chats are awesome and super easy. I have used FaceTime numerous times to show a property to a client that couldn't be there, which is just incredibly amazing. Even, you know, it's funny talking, going back to my dad, you know, he's been doing this for so many years, even back when, okay, the MLS listings came out in the listing book once a month, and you had to make the listing book, otherwise your listing wasn't seen for a whole month. So it's just amazing to see how far we've come and how many things, you know, we can do so quickly. Obviously, you know, online calendars, sharing meeting times, things like that, email. I'm also huge with social media, Facebook specifically, staying in touch with my clients personally, even after the transaction or during the transaction, has been huge for me.
That's great. And then we also talked about this when we were prepping for the show, that as much as technology is a benefit, you also go old school with some of the things that you do. So let's talk about some of the old school, you know, the tried and true things that are just working for you as well.
So if it's not broke, don't fix it is my thing a lot of ways. And I would come right out there and say, I am not the best with technology. I get very easily overwhelmed. If I can't master something, then I'm like, okay, I better just hold off. So I still keep a written calendar book still, even though I have Google Calendar and everything as a backup, I still jot everything down in a book. And then even things like meal planning, I know there's a lot of rock star moms as well that are on board with all the meal planning and all these amazing things like HelloFresh, but I still do our weekly meal planning as a family just by hand, by list. I wake up early every Sunday morning before anybody's awake and do our meal plan for the week just with pen and paper.
Well, that's really cool. And I think that it's a great thing to talk about technology and how it can be really, really helpful and very effective. But sometimes the old tried and true stuff really works out. And I will admit a failure here of my own. As we were starting to record this podcast, I didn't check the battery usage on my laptop, and the program crashed because my computer shut down. And so I agree with you that technology is just one other thing that can break down, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's great. It's an awesome resource. I hear about all these crazy apps that our friends, especially, you know, are industry changing friends in 30 under 30, a lot of the amazing things they're doing. And I just think it's so amazing. But I think in a lot of ways, we do get inundated with technology in a lot of ways. And at the very core, you know, our business is about people. And I say it all the time, you know, and connecting with people. If you find a way to do that through technology that makes it easier for you and for the client, then that's great. But if not, at the very basis, just staying in touch with people, staying connected person to person. So yeah, I guess keep it old school in that sense.
I think that you hit on something that's really important that I want to just pause for a moment and reflect on. So technology is not inherently good or bad, right? It's just another way of connecting with people. And if you forget that, I think that's where people get lost in this. And I think it's really important, and I find myself asking my clients this often, which type of technology do you prefer to use? And so I'll actually ask my clients, do you want me to call you? Do you want me to text you? Do you want me to email you? And I have some clients that work in such an industry that really email is the thing that they rely on so much. It's harder for me to do email because I'm constantly at showings, I'm constantly in meetings, but you have to adapt as a realtor to what works best for your clients. And so I think technology is great, but if we've got a client that's in their 60s or 70s and just wants to hop on a phone, you know, that's probably the thing that's right for them.
Yep, absolutely. 100% agree with that.
And I will also say too, if it's something that you can't do in two or three sentences over either a text message or an email, it needs to become a phone conversation. And I think people get that lost too. And I think there's some people that assume that we can just get everything taken care of via text or email. And you know, the old fashioned phone call is really a great way to hammer things out and do it. Even though it seems like it's not necessarily a new technology, it's a lot more efficient. And that's what we're driving for here is efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm a fan of, like I said, going back to the days of old, and I am a handwritten note fan. I send them all the time. I think that it is even more impactful again in today's technological world where we're just inundated with emails and, you know, text messages, things like that. For somebody to get a handwritten message seems to speak volumes about, okay, hey, I took the 5 minutes to sit down, draft a note, a thank you, I'm thinking of you, whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we spoke about a thought leader, Dave Ramsey, another thought leader that I love, and he's got a great podcast, is Brian Buffini. Mm-hmm. Brian Buffini speaks about technology in this way. He says that we're a technological culture that is drowning in information yet starving for wisdom. And so I think that what ends up happening is we assume that because we have this access to more information that it's better. And it always isn't. It isn't necessarily always that way. So next question. Being recognized by Realtor Magazine as 30 under 30, you can't do that without having some sort of impact on your clients. And so if I'm one of your clients and I'm describing Tara Moore, what makes Tara special? And I know that feels a little weird to talk about yourself in that way, but what are some of the things that set you apart from maybe other realtors? And what are some things practically, let's get real tangible here, that people could implement into their business, like writing handwritten notes? Those are things that are real important. But what would your clients say set you apart?
I think the feedback that I get all the time is that they felt I treated them like family, not just the transaction. I'm not just there for the deal, you know, get the deal done and then move on. And a lot of that, I'll go back, you know, that I'm able to do that when I have financial peace, financial pressure of managing your household in debt, living beyond your means. It really enables you, you know, to treat the client like family. And so since none of my current deals are going to make or break whether or not I can feed my family this week, it enables me to treat the clients differently. I'm going to advise them like a family member or a friend, looking out for their best interests and not just somebody that, you know, needs the commission in order to pay their bills. The other thing I would say that they really appreciate is that I like to sit down with everyone right from the beginning and lay out our game plan. I give information up front, answer all their questions. I usually like to have a really in-depth buyer meeting at the beginning. Going back to technology, our clients are just inundated full of information. They're getting it from every angle. They're reading it. They're hearing it. They're watching it on TV. We as realtors still are the main source for information. They want to know, okay, what's the truth? What does this really mean? What are these different types of financing? So I would say it's just the heart of a teacher to sit down with them and go through that information one-on-one and answer all their questions.
I love both of your answers, that getting your own house in order from a financial standpoint enables you to really give good quality advice like you would to any of your family members. So you treat your clients like family, and that's because you've taken steps to make sure that your financial house is in order. And then also you've got that heart of a teacher. We both have kids that are about the same age, that elementary school age, and our teachers don't do the work for our kids, right? They show them the way. And I think that having a heart of a teacher is constantly being a learner yourself and constantly stretching, and then also giving great advice to your students. And in this way, we're educating our clients on what we know about the industry. And I think that there's a lot of people in our industry that are maybe concerned about certain apps, and I'm not going to name names, but certain apps that might be taking over our industry. And while they may take over certain areas, the more that you can treat this industry like a craft, and the more that you can be professional and be an industry expert, be a knowledge source for your clients, the more you're going to have the ability to work with continued clients and repeat business. And I think that that's something that's really important for people to know, especially if you're new in the industry.
I would absolutely 100% agree with that. More now than ever. I mean, over the past however many years, I'm actually seeing my clients coming to me, new clients specifically, more confused when there's actually more information out there, like you say, more apps, but they are still coming to us as the leader, you know, in the industry, the knowledge source. They might have all of these different things in front of them, but they want to know, okay, Tara, which one of these is actually the truth and how do I interpret that? And I really appreciate that. And I love teaching them and guiding them through the whole process.
All right. My next question is one that's a humbling question. It's about failure. That's a subject that I focus in a lot because I feel like some of the smartest people I've ever met have admitted that their success is really standing on a mountain of failure, of things that didn't go the right way. And I found that industry experts, regardless of whether it's real estate or other businesses, look at things like a scientist. The word calibrate is a word about correction and about making adjustments. And so as you've had problems or things that didn't go your way in your career, how do you react to that? How do you maybe have that detached way of looking at things, that this was an experiment and maybe it didn't work out this way, so I'm going to make some iterations, I'm going to calibrate things and move forward to maybe a better result?
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? Especially for us, as I think a passionate person, a driver personality, we always tend to be harder on ourselves than anyone. So I think the biggest thing for me has just been to take ownership of something if it doesn't go the right way, evaluate it, take some time to, you know, have your sulking moments or whatever you want to do, have a little pity party, but then move on. I really try to not get bogged down and spend too much time thinking about things that didn't go right. Of course, we want to spend time evaluating it, making sure, okay, we don't ever want to make that mistake again, or, you know, we want to figure out why this happened and how we can avoid these kind of things. But I think I have become a master of just putting it into that box, you know, and moving on and not letting it really affect the next deal or the deal after that, or, you know, become a part of who I am as a person, you know, so.
I think that that's great advice. And I think it's one that a lot of people struggle with. We all evaluate, we all assess ourselves. And sometimes the biggest issue is the dwelling on it, dwelling on the problem and not moving on from it. And I had a mentor early in my career when I lost a listing. I remember his name's Grant, just a wonderful man. And he was 30 years my senior, had lots of different roles in the industry, including being a managing broker within a company. And he said to me, he just said, Kyle, you've got to find a way to move on. He's like, this does hurt. And it stinks that you didn't get this listing that you competed for, but you were in the final round of competition and you've got to look at it like you're not always going to win them. And you've got to find a way to move on and learn from this. And that's really important, is the moving on part.
Yep, absolutely. And yeah, and like I said, with my dad teaching me to never get too high on my high on the highs or low on the lows. Same thing goes for, you know, when you have a big win, it's awesome to celebrate it and, you know, rejoice in all that and give thanks. But at the end of the day, you know, you always have to stay even keel as much as you can. And then I'm going to throw a thing at you because I know you like your quote. So I know you've heard this one, but the master has failed more times than the beginner has tried. So I always try to keep that in mind as well, that, you know, the more we try at different things, even if we fail, we're still getting ahead of the game and trying out new things.
I love that quote. I've actually never heard it before. Yeah. It's perfect for this.
So to become a master of our craft, right, we have to keep trying. And even if we fail, we've at least tried more times than the beginner has even tried.
That's awesome. So I started the question by saying this is a humbling question. My next question is going to be about authenticity, which is truly coming from a place of humility. And I think humility is a weird word in our society today. It was used, I think, a lot more, but I think a lot of people don't want to be humble because they feel like that vulnerability, they may get, you know, they may get abused or they may actually get taken advantage of. So, you know, I think authenticity is really important. And I think it's the hallmark of what makes a great professional. So has authenticity ever backfired on you, or being vulnerable ever backfired on you, either with a deal or with someone you've worked with?
I think yes. I think I am probably overly nice and wanting to help everyone. And I think being that way just by nature can really set you up in a lot of ways to be taken advantage of sometimes. Like, for example, I did have a client that, you know, I worked with for 2 years. And at the end of that 2 years, or what I made the end of that 2 years, I think it would have gone on much longer, but they sat me down and they kindly let me know that they actually planned to do the rest of the process on their own. So that was really rough. And that was one of those times when, again, if we want to look at that as a point of failure, going back to the last question, I could have probably dwelled on that for a very long time, or I could have, allowed that experience to change the way that I am, you know, moving forward. So, well, I'm never going to be that nice to anybody again, or I'm going to make every client I work with sign something, but that just wouldn't be fair to me. I try not to let one experience, you know, define who I am moving forward. So I reflected on that. And then I think through that experience, I recognized very early on that I just can't be the right fit for every single client. So going back to that initial client meeting I have with a seller or a buyer, I really use that as a time to not only let the client decide if I'm the right fit for them, but also I'm kind of scoping them out too to see, are you the right fit for me? Are we going to work well together? And I think just again, being humble enough to say, I don't have to work with every single client. Again, everything circles back to that, you know, financial security piece. If I don't feel like just personality wise or whatever it might be, I'm going to be the right fit for somebody, I can really say that or refer them out to somebody that I feel like would be a better fit.
Yeah, I think that's a very wise and mature way of looking at it. And we often forget that, right? I get frustrated when someone will list a property, especially if it's something I sold to them. I worked with them on the buy side, then they go hire someone else. And I've become more and more in tune with, you know, there's room for me. There's room for me for the right people that I'm going to be working with. And then if for some reason someone chooses to work with me, it's not like the world is this pie and everyone gets their slice. And if you don't get a big enough slice, then all of a sudden you don't have the ability to produce. There's going to be other things. I look at the world as a world of abundance. And so someone decides to not hire me, that's just going to leave room for someone that really does want to work with me. And I think that that's very important to have that approach.
Absolutely.
Well, we're nearing the end of our interview, and I appreciate all of your thoughts to this point. So last two questions, what was the most memorable or impactful experience of your real estate career? And that's a big question, right? But yeah. If you had to pick maybe one or two moments where you're like, man, this is just the sweet stuff, or this was a really difficult thing, what were those impactful experiences that you've had?
So I think honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is the 30 under 30, you know, recognition was just the most amazing thing. Again, as I mentioned, growing up with a father in the business, from the time that I was very young, I would look forward to that particular magazine every year, and he would put it in front of me and he would, you know, show me all the different realtors and amazing people that I've now had the pleasure of meeting a lot of them, which is just amazing. And even as I grew up, when I was away in college, my dad would still send me that magazine every year with little sticky notes all over it saying, this could be you, this could be you. And then when I was in the corporate world, he continued to send them saying, it's not too late, one more year, you know? So I think just that recognition was just surreal for me and still is. And just the things that I'm learning from people like you and every time we get together with the group. And then in our business, we throw a huge annual client appreciation party every year. And those have become just the most special things for us. Right from the start, I knew I wanted to really build a family of clients and not just, again, be about the deal and just continue that relationship on and on. So first year, we started very, very small and then just grew on it. Last year, we sent out over 500 invitations to our client appreciation event and had this humongous party. We live band, you know, we had, a 9 or 11 piece band and food, drinks, everything. It was just amazing. We look forward to that every single year.
It sounds like a wedding reception.
It almost is. Yeah.
That is cool. We started doing a client appreciation event about 4 years ago. And it's one of those things that is a big driver in our business too. You do it as a way of saying thank you. Yes. But it's amazing how many people boomerang, because I'm working with investors, so they have the ability to do multiple transactions. And so it's amazing just how that event really enables us to kick off our year in a great way. And we're doing it to say thanks. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And it's amazing what people do and how they will give back to you when they feel appreciated. You know, it's really quite an amazing thing. So
absolutely.
Anybody, I would highly recommend even starting small with some sort of client, something to show your clients that you appreciate them.
Yeah, it's really cool. And we can dive into those types of topics in later podcasts. As we're nearing the end of our time, I do want to just say that comment that I have around the 30 under 30 accolade, your dad sending you the magazine. I had the fortune of being trained and mentored by a 30 under 30 that was awarded in 2005 or recognized in 2005. And I actually helped him with his application. His name's Matt. He was here in Denver. And it was one of those things I looked at and I'm like, this is what I want to do. I don't know what it takes, but this is so cool. As I saw him recognized in 2005 and not even 10 years later, I'm now in that company with him, and Matt's going to be a speaker at our reunion, which I teased about earlier, as possibly going to be one of our podcast episodes, is having our Working Realtor Mom panel on there. So cool stuff. It's a really, really neat thing. And it's not meant to be focused completely on what Tara and I have been recognized for. But the whole point is just some of these, wow, pinch me surreal moments where you all of a sudden are given an invitation to be in the room with people that you had been admiring is really neat. All right, I saved my favorite question for the end. And it's this question, Dear Younger Me. It's actually based on a Christian song by the band called Mercy Me. And I've done a presentation around this topic. So the idea is you're writing yourself a letter 10 years after you've started your career. And this is the advice you wish you knew when you were 22, right? It's the stuff that you wish you knew. And so what would you say to yourself now, having lots of success and being a working mom, being a working wife, and just having so many wonderful things attached to your name? What would you give that 22-year-old? What type of advice would you give to yourself?
Stay out of debt, like we talked about earlier. But yeah, stay out of debt. I would have had a lot less work to do, a lot less digging out if I had stayed out of debt over the last 10 years. So that's the first thing. And then the next thing is just something that I think I've really kind of recognized and built upon just over the last couple years. But just taking a breath. And I think our culture, our society these days is really good at making everything seem urgent, especially in our business. And the truth is that there are only a few times that things are truly urgent, meaning fire drill, drop everything that you're doing right this very minute and tend to this one issue. And I think the first couple years of my career were basically just built around managing fires and doing just that. And I think if I had recognized earlier on that a lot of things aren't truly urgent, could they wait until the next morning? Can I finish family time and then move on to these things that are seemingly urgent later? Yes. So would have loved to learn that earlier.
Well, and it's great advice. It's one of those things that I've learned the hard way, right? You have a brunch that gets disrupted by a text message from a client and you feel like, I got to jump on that right away, or an email or even a phone call. And I want to give everybody that it's either watching or listening to the podcast permission to say, you know what, there's time that you need to actually have respite or relax, or a Sabbath, as they say in the Bible. And it's really important. One of the things that I'm going to be speaking about at our 30 under 30 reunion is the topic of margin and creating margin in your life so that you can be centered. And that's a word that gets maybe used a lot right now, but that you can be centered so that you can feel like you're in harmony. And I think that word balance, we talked about at the beginning of the interview, it gets misused or it gets confused. And I think part of it is because we want to live a harmonious life, right? Because if you're having troubles at home, it's real difficult to be effective at work. A lot of people think they can compartmentalize their life, but we live this connected life. And I think that that's harmony is really the biggest key. And I would say that if you take time and you take a break from answering everything at a moment and not treating your business as an on-demand business, mm-hmm. it's going to make you feel a lot better. That's the best part. And like you said, your first piece of advice is get out of debt. If you're not in debt and you're not working for the bank, which is basically what you're doing when you're in debt, you wake up every day and you're working to make those payments. You can make those choices. You can say, I'm not going to work on a Sunday, or I'm not going to work on a Saturday afternoon. Mary Lane Sloan, one of our previous guests, she had mentioned that one of the things she does with her clients is she makes sure to tell them, I'll work on Saturday or I'll work on Sunday, but I won't do both. And I think that that's really important in setting expectations, right?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I love that. I listened to that whole podcast and I enjoyed every minute, but yeah, I love that piece of advice.
That's awesome. She's phenomenal. And she is a partner and coworker with one of our good friends, Brad Allen in South Carolina. So I get a gift for all of our podcast interviewees. And I think this is a very fitting book. It's endorsed, and the foreword is actually by our friend, Dave Ramsey, but it's called The Business Boutique. And it's by Christy Wright. Christy Wright is one of Dave Ramsey's thought leaders. And it's kind of hard to read that because the camera's putting everything in reverse and the words are backward. But Dave Ramsey has this speakers guild called Ramsey Personalities, and Christy's one of their thought leaders. She has a great podcast, and she's all about empowering women specifically. So this podcast that I have is all about education, empowerment, and encouragement. Christy's book, the subtitle is A Woman's Guide for Making Money Doing What She Loves. And I think it's perfect for you. It's perfect for working moms.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Enjoy
it. And so for all of our guests that have been tuning in either via iTunes or YouTube, thank you so much for taking some time to listen to us today. And as I love to say for all of my guests, I'm Kyle Malnati, the host of the Calibrate Real Estate Podcast. Tara Moore of Tara Moore Real Estate, thank you for joining us. And we will see you around the neighborhood. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.